go. This is the Individual Skills Hockey Podcast with another episode of Playing Fast. We are again down in the depths of Plymouth Ice Center. Our usual podcast studio was taken by a third party. Don't want to comment on that. We have Ben Monahan here again and Pat O'Leary, and today's topic is youth hockey, balancing when to teach systems versus concepts, or just your general thoughts on teaching systems in youth hockey.
Like, what is the appropriate age to do that?
Sure.
I mean, like we discussed in an earlier episode, I think you can teach the concepts of all systems.
Let's just start with an example of a concept that you'd like your Bantam team to understand by the time they get to high school, without teaching a specific system.
Well, I mean,
I have one in my brain.
Well, you go first then. Let's hear yours.
I think center lane drive is something that on a zone entry is a concept that all of our kids at youth levels need to learn. But it's not, there's no system that I'm aware of that's a center lane drive system. What are your thoughts?
I mean, every player should learn that at some point in time, but I would probably ask, at what age then are you teaching that? Is that a Bantam deal? Is that younger? And if so, how are you teaching that besides entry drills?
We start that at squirts, in my opinion. You teach the center person to drive them to the net every single time, because what that does is, the biggest thing that I see at the young ages is we stare at the person with the puck all the time. So I guess maybe I'll take the center drive out of it and put more into like a concept of playing without the puck, right? And skating to areas to not to skate yourself out of the play is what I always try to teach our young kids. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, just because you're working hard doesn't mean you're doing what you're supposed to be doing all the time. So at a young age, you should be able to teach these kids, you know, we want to talk about F2, I guess, or the center drive or whatever you want to, you know, it's like, where are you going to be able to create space for you to get the puck or to help support the puck is the two things that I kind of always talk about.
And I think, I mean, some of this may be off topic, Miles, or maybe I'm not wise enough to understand the question, but I look at the squirt coaches out there and 10U coaches, and Pat's there now. I've been there, and you always hear the phrase that maybe the top team, those kids made the top team because they know how to do a breakout, or you hear the squirt B2 coaches saying, we got to work on breakouts today. And I've never understood why any team ever works on a breakout at youth hockey of squirts, peewees, whatever, because you can do that in a station-based practice of some sort. You can easily do a J-hook or hip out or whatever to work on that stuff, or you can easily do a guy coming through the middle. And it just always makes me shake my head or laugh when you see a squirt B2 practice with 8 kids on a knee as we're working on breakouts.
Well, I think like our friend Dave Brown up in Rogers made this point to me. At youth hockey, it is almost impossible to teach more than 6 kids what to do at one time. So when you're looking at...
I would say it's more like 3.
More like 3. Okay, maybe it's 6 at Bantam. So, but how do you... So let's say you want to work on your zone entries. How do you set up a drill with 2 or 3 players that work on a concept of a center lane drive? I mean, it's pretty easy. You just set them up at the red line. You kick the puck wide, and you tell the guy in the middle to drive the net. There's 2 kids going. Maybe you put a defender in there. There's 3 kids going. Boom, you've just worked on center lane drive in a station at a squirt practice.
Well, I just want to say, I'm just speak from experience here. Just so like I can tell you what we did as a coaching staff for our U10 team this year, what we implemented early, besides the obvious skills, is there's 2 things we implemented early in the season that we started working on. These are just basically out of like station work, but like, and then when we actually like would split half and half, we took a little bit of time in certain groups of like 3 to 4 kids of dumping a puck in the corner, having one player, she doesn't know what position he plays at this, by the way, right? Being able to gather the puck, get it on her forehand, come around the net, and then have another girl open up, we call it a J-hook, to both sides, make that 10-foot pass, And then we turn it into a one-on-one or something maybe like that, what after that. And then the next layer of it was add a third player, not a DDD, by the way, but a center on that route that she takes to support the puck. And then there's a two passes. Gather the puck, pass to the wall, pass to the center, and then maybe it creates a regroup two-on-one, whatever the case may be. So that's number one. And then number two was what you just talked about. We implemented early in a girl has the puck, wherever she is on the ice, and then what does the other girl, not three of them, but one other girl, do, and where is she supposed to go, whether it's center drive, whether it's support the puck underneath her, right? Or if she's got the puck in the corner, where do you go in the, you know, I mean, we're getting crazy now, but like those are the two things that we invented early on in the season. And we have seen that come to fruition in the game just because they've done it. Now, granted, if you're not working on skills and you're not working on catching passes and you're not working on being aggressive and all the things we ever talk about, I don't care what system that you're running. To be very honest with you, and I talk to my high school coaches about this all the time, people always ask me, young, you know, coaches in the youth association, like, we want to kind of play like you guys play. Like, what's your forecheck? And I'm like, we don't really have one, to be honest with you. I know it sounds crazy. Like, we do like a 2-1-2 or whatever, you know what I mean? But like,
we work on like a big concept for us this year has been like proper layering.
Yes.
Of our forecheck. So like, what does that mean? Like, you have to no forecheck sets up like how you draw it up. So if you recognize that you're the second or third player up the ice, where's the proper layering for you and kind of what's your depth on where you should be? So we talk about that stuff a lot, but it's not, I think that's the biggest, one of the two biggest ones that we get asked about, forecheck and D-zone coverage. So let's talk about D-zone coverage. How do you break D-zone coverage into a three-kid drill?
So, and I think that's very simple for me. I mean, I think it's number one, like when you put them in positions and early in the season, especially, hopefully everyone's playing every position. But we talk about like in the D-zone, defenseman number one is on the puck, right? Defenseman number two is on the strong side poster in front of the net. Now, it seems so basic, but it's like there's so many times you watch in these games that there's not a defenseman in front of the net with support, right, taking care of the house. And then the third part is that center, right? And it's like, okay, the center is the second person retrieving the puck, helping that first defenseman, you know, create space or get it or outman them or whatever the case may be. So that's your three-man unit right there. What your wings are doing is basically we're trying to keep them on their side of the ice is what we're trying to do. So, I mean, you can break it down into a three. And so now you could go a different level to it. You could go, okay, you have get rid of that defenseman in front of the net if you want to work half of the ice. Now you have D1 in the corner, center on the behind D2, whatever you want to call them, and then have a wing on the strong side right on top of the circle, right? So then you're using that half of the ice. I mean, you can break it down into segments of the rink and just explain to them what the positioning are. And then on top of that, which I keep saying and over and over and over and over and over again, is when we get the puck, then what do you do? How do you get open? How do you create space for an outlet pass? Which is, I think if you can do that, just makes the whole game a lot easier to play. If you got those people, it's like you said, it's usually three people. It's that D-man hits and pins, creates a turnover. Then the center, who's she have an outlet to?
And then like how to work on that after explaining it would be like, to me, is bordering off one quarter of the zone and playing 3-on-3.
Yeah.
And having the defensive team make a goal of either have to pass to a coach up top or skate it out or whatever.
One thing I'll say about that before he goes is that you're 100% accurate. And I think what sometimes we screw up on is that we feel that if there's a goalie there at practice, every drill has to, end in a shot, which is not how it should be. It's like, you should be able to do that game you just talked about with that support drill, just against a puck possession type of game, right? And, you know, and so it's just like anytime you start talking about trying to get the puck to the net or getting a shot on net, we start losing the puck movement part of it, and then we forget that part of it.
What are the forecheck questions you're getting in youth hockey and what levels? Because I would just assume every forecheck in youth hockey is some form of a 2-on-2.
Well, it's not so much of forecheck questions. I should back up. It's when I walk around the rink, I see a lot of walkthroughs on forecheck.
And see, that my philosophy on all that stuff is that's what the chalkboards are for, especially with a forecheck or whatever. But taking the time on the ice, to me, is a waste of ice time, because you could be doing so much more with those kids than a walkthrough with a forecheck. And like I said, I remember when my son was a squirt, it was the squirt C team was doing walkthroughs of it. And it's like, your kids need full skill development. They need to skate better, catch passes better, shoot better. And we're worried about a D zone face off drill or a forecheck. So, I mean, everything in forecheck for me at youth would F1 hard on the puck, F2 hard on the puck, and F3 just stay side somewhere around the top of the circle or the as low as a dot maybe, but that's about it.
How about the best forecheck drill, in my opinion, that you could set up is a forwards versus D, 3-on-2.
Correct.
Below the top of the circles. So
yep.
You are naturally learning how to win the puck back.
Yep.
And you don't send all three guys in there because then the D, if happens to win that battle and chip it to the other D, then he's out. So you do have to have a third guy high. You do have to have a second player in there close, kind of ready to pounce on a puck. But you're letting them play 3-on-2. And like you said, you're drawing up the concepts on the chalkboard.
Yep.
You're letting them play 3-on-2 of practice to learn some of the stuff on their own.
And I think, you know, this is, you know, how you set it up and what the drills are and so on and so forth. But we're talking about, like, just verbiage here. And I think for me, you know, at a young level, if you're trying to teach a forechecking, and that's anywhere on the ice, is we all know that the first person's getting their feet moving, getting on the puck, and F2 should be right, you know, close and moving their feet too. But I think the biggest thing, a very easy way to explain it to kids is, how are we not allowing them to beat two of our players with one pass, right? So it's like, where are you? What's the space between that? And I think on top of it, even moreover, you get some, especially like at the squirt level, and maybe I see it sometimes at the PWA level, to be honest with you, they have one or two kids, specifically defensemen, that are really gifted that can skate, and they skate around those first two guys. Yep. So it's like, how do you defend that? There's not a system about how you do it. It's like it's angles, and it's going to where you're supposed
to be. Stick position.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just like, back to what we talked about earlier. It's like, it's creating a one-on-one and not getting beat one-on-one, and then not getting beat one-on-two, and then so on and so forth after that. You know what I mean? Like 3, 4, 5 people on the ice don't really come into play if you're actually doing what you're supposed to do with the first two.
And I think a lot of the problems is with this, and Miles, you might be different here at Wayzata, but a lot of the coaches don't know these things, and they're afraid to ask. They don't know where to get the answers, and that's just what you would hope the coaches or the local associations are helping their coaches out with this stuff. But the coaches feel comfortable to ask questions to get these concepts that they can do in drills rather than wasting ice time.
But, and you're right, Ben, but the devil's advocate is that the coaches that are asking these questions to people that are supposed to be in the know, when we give them the answer of the things we just talked about, right? Then you have to understand, like, okay, well, now you need to keep working on puck possession, you know, power turns, getting off of space, you know, whatever the case may be, all of the things we talk about. And that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear, like, no, are you sure you just don't have the second guy go take away the left wing?
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean? So it's like, it sounds like we're being stupid when we're saying, but it's like, no, the same thing we keep talking about. You got to skate better. You got to handle pucks better. You got to, like, you got to be able to angle better, you know? Yeah. So.
And I think there's a couple pieces to that. I've said it before, if coaches aren't being very tactical or very systems oriented, they sometimes feel like they're not doing enough for their kids. We're not telling them exactly what to do. And then we get in the game in December, which is early in the season, and they don't know what to do. Then we failed as coaches. So we need to, like, hit on this stuff at practice. What I'll say about that comment is we've been working on concepts at the high school level, and we get way more practices and way more ice than some youth teams. And we are just now starting to see 14, 15 games in, some of those concepts start to show up in games from working on different small area games, working on drills that only include 2 or 3 players, and just working on routes and stuff like that. So it is a long process. Be patient with it, even if you're getting smoked in November.
And if you also, but on top of that as well, is if you're finding that you're system is breaking or whatever you want to call it, usually what happens is a player beats multiple players with skill. Well, so that's the answer right there.
Correct.
Like, start working on your kids on more skating and working on them angles. Teach them how to angle people properly, not skate themselves away, you know, so on and so forth. And then that's like the number one system is that.
Correct. I mean, like you said before, working on passing, I mean, a lot of breakouts. If you can't catch passes, you're not breaking out anyways. So it really doesn't matter. Unless you have a human breakout like a defenseman.
Which happens, and that's okay.
Correct.
All right, so to wrap it up, never have try not to have more than three or four players in a drill, and try to make your, when you move on from skills, pure skills in your practices, try to have one concept that you're teaching the kids with only three or four kids involved, maybe even two. And then the second piece for me, a big piece, and you guys can add whatever you want to sum it up, is stay patient with it and understand that sometimes this stuff takes longer than you would like it to, especially for the younger players.
Sounds good.
I got one thing to rip on. I would say that if you're struggling with thinking systems aren't working, or you're getting skated on, or so on and so forth, and you're getting frustrated, the last thing you want to do is slow practice down and break it down into like a system of within a system on the ice. If you're having a tough day and kids aren't listening or whatever, not picking up on something, I'm old school with this, but put the net side to side and play 3-on-3 and show them how to angle guys and try to score goals and have fun.
100%. This is the episode of Playing Fast with the Individual Skills Hockey Podcast, and we will see you next time.